Greetings to the Path family. Our slogan at the Path is meeting you where you are. We invite you to follow, share, and check us out on social media. You may connect with us at any time, anywhere, on Facebook at The Path Church or Instagram and Twitter at Join the Path. Without further delay, enjoy this week's sermon.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. You know, we recently wrapped up our core value series. And as I told you that I'm going to give you the name of our new upcoming series that we're going to start on Easter Sunday. And that series is going to be called Better Than Expected. That's right. It goes along with our theme for the year, which is grateful. And the whole thinking about that and behind that is, you know, that moments of disappointment really tend to become bigger than they need to be in our lives, in our memories, even in the story that we tell ourselves. And they live in our hearts, as they say, rent free. They live in our minds rent free, right? These moments of disappointment. And you know, I was thinking, if we're going to grow in our gratitude, we got to be able to identify the moments when things end up being better than expected. What if those moments were living in our hearts and our minds rent free, right? Moments that exceeded our expectations. And so our theme scripture is going to be Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, which tells us that we serve a God who is able to do immeasurably more. Try spelling that, immeasurably more than we can all ask or imagine. God specializes in better than expected. That's who he is. That's what he does. And we're going to look at some stories in the Bible that show us that, right? So as I started studying out the book of Ephesians in context, you know, because as I'm studying out for new series, I want to make sure that I understand even the whole book of Ephesians. Man, I've been in for a treat, y'all. It's been amazing to be able to study out the book of Ephesians. And what I learned, I want to share with you some of that today. And you can think of this maybe as a little precursor to a little preview to our upcoming series. But you know, in this letter, the letter that Paul wrote through the Holy Spirit to the church, the disciples in Ephesus, God grants his people a rare glimpse of our place in the grand scheme of history and the incredibly important role that we play in his plan for the world. Now, you know, people often want to know, what is God's plan for my life? And that is a great question. We often spend a lot of time trying to figure that out. What is God's plan for my life? I want to do what he's planned for me to do. But while we all have specific plans, I think, from God to live out our individual lives in his great scheme of things, right? There's also a plan that is for everybody, everywhere. And that's what I want to talk about today. Ephesians chapter 1, starting in verse 9, he tells us this plan pretty clearly. It says this, God has now revealed to us his mysterious will regarding Christ, which is to fulfill his own good plan. Okay, what was that plan? I love this version, the NLT, verse 10. And this is the plan. At the right time, he will bring everything together under the authority of Christ, everything in heaven and on earth. Furthermore, because we are united with Christ, we have received an inheritance from God. For he chose us in advance, and he makes everything work out according to his plan. So, number one, God has a plan. What is that plan? That plan is to bring everything and everyone under the authority of Christ. And we learn from this scripture that he makes everything work out according to his plan. Now, this scripture has been shared a lot. Oh, he's working out everything according to his plan. But in context, his plan here is to bring everything and everyone under the authority of Christ. So he has a plan. He's working out everything according to his plan, and he has a purpose for this plan. You know, with God, there is always a why. And that purpose we learn in verse 14, it says he did this so that we would praise and glorify him. That's the purpose. Now, I don't know, you know, the age range of everybody out there watching, but do y'all remember the movie The A-Team? And so this came out in 2010, but it's actually from a TV series back in the 80s. Y'all remember that? With Mr. T in it. You remember that? I pity the fool. You know, he had all chains. You know, y'all know Mr. T. So The A-Team, for those of you who don't know or may not remember, is a show about these four, you know, military guys that were framed for something they didn't do, right? And so they were on a mission to clear their names and find the person who framed them. So that's the whole concept of the show. Their team leader is a guy named Colonel John Hannibal Smith. They call him Hannibal. And he's the one that would come up with these elaborate plans for each mission. That's why the show was so cool. And the plans were always tailored to suit each team member's individual strengths. So for Hannibal, it was like he could see things on another level. And so he could picture how things were going to play out. And so, like, even though his strategies were very unorthodox and even seemed illogical, right, things would always work out in the end. And when they did, Hannibal would throw out his catchphrase. You may have heard this before. Maybe you didn't know where it came from, but Hannibal would say, I love it when a plan comes together. Love it when a plan comes together. That was his catchphrase, you know. And I believe God looks at his church today and says, I love it when a plan comes together. Because in all actuality, the church is the only place where his plan is coming together, because it's the only place where people have chosen to submit to the authority of Christ. No other religion, no government body, no country or organization, no place of education or a place of business, no other entity on this planet can boast that it is a living representation of God's plan coming together. Unless, of course, the church, the group of people who have submitted to the authority of Christ, unless the church infiltrates those other entities and brings glory to God, which results in more people submitting to the authority of Christ and becoming his disciples. The church is plan A, and there is no plan B. So yes, I guess you can call us the A-Team. And that's the title of my message today. Now, if you're not on the A-Team, if you have yet to submit your life to Christ and come up under his authority, if you're not part of God's church the way he calls us to be, if you haven't believed in Jesus and repented, made him Lord of your life, and been baptized into the body of believers, joined his family yet, if you're not part of the A-Team yet, you best believe that God is using the A-Team, his church, his disciples, to get you on the team. That's his goal. He wants to get as many people on the team as possible. So God, he comes up with these elaborate plans to fulfill his mission. These plans are always tailored to suit each team member's individual strengths. And it's like he sees things on another level. He can picture what's going to happen and how things are going to play out. And so even though his strategies are unorthodox and seem illogical, things always work out in the end. Scriptures teach us that it will work out because every knee will bow, right? That's Philippians chapter 2. Every knee will bow to Christ. That's a done deal. So either we make the decision to submit to Christ, to bow before him and give him our lives. Either we make the decision on the front end, or we will bow on the back end, which is the day of judgment. But by then it will be too late. But I want you to remember this one thing. God will make us bow, but he will not make us love. He'll make us bow, but he won't make us love. Now, who's going to be in heaven with him forever? The ones that want to be, the ones that love him, not the ones that will have to grudgingly get on their knees before Christ, right? And so who are you going to be? Will you be the one that God makes bow to Jesus, or will you be the one that chooses to love Christ? You know, his desire for us is to love Christ enough to commit our lives to him, submit to his authority, and join the A team. All right. Now, that's what Paul did. Paul was far off. He was persecuting the church. But after his encounter with Jesus and his trip over to Damascus and his time with Brother Ananias, he was baptized and became part of the A team, part of God's family. He's actually the author of this letter to the church in Ephesus, and he lets us in on some of the perks that we get when we join on the front end, when we choose to love instead of having to bow, right? And he explains that part of God's plan in Ephesians chapter 3. We're going to start in verse 6. And this is God's plan. Both Gentiles and Jews who believe the good news share equally in the riches inherited by God's children. Both are part of the same body, and both enjoy the promise of blessings because they belong to Christ Jesus. By God's grace and mighty power, I have been given the privilege of serving him by spreading his good news. Though I am the least deserving of all God's people, he graciously gave me the privilege of telling the Gentiles about the endless treasures available to them in Christ. I was chosen to explain to everyone the mysterious plan that God, the creator of all things, had kept secret from the beginning. God's purpose in all this was to use the church to display his wisdom and its rich variety to all unseen rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was his eternal plan, which he carried out through Christ Jesus, our Lord. Let's break this down. Let's look at the perks of being part of the A team, right? It says that the church inherits riches and enjoys the promise of blessings. It's by God's grace and mighty power that the church is given the privilege of serving him by spreading the good news. That's a privilege that we get, right? That's God's grace in our lives that we get to tell people the good news. That's a blessing that we get to partner with God in that. This scripture teaches us the church is the beneficiary of endless treasures in Christ. How cool is that? Endless, eternal. They never end, right? The church is chosen, it says. Paul saw himself as being chosen, and we should all see ourselves in that way. Paul's like, look, I'm the first round draft pick. I'm the first choice. Like, God himself chose me. Like, it wasn't by accident. God chooses us, each individual in the church, to see themselves in that way. So it shouldn't be that I have to serve God, that I have to preach the word, that I have to make disciples, that I have to glorify. No, it's not that I have to, it's that I get to. You know, Paul saw this as these were perks, these were benefits, these were blessings of being part of the A team. Lastly, the church is a manifestation of God's wisdom in its rich variety. That's what it says. In its rich variety. What is that? What does that word mean? Well, the Greek word used here to describe God's wisdom has the ideas of intricacy, complexity, and great beauty, as seen in the best pictures or textures, right? In the best artwork that you can find. The church is a work of art, intricate, complex, beautiful, that displays his wisdom to all the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. When it's when you create art, artwork is created to be consumed. It's created to inspire people, right? You don't create art and hide it somewhere. Whether you make music, whether you draw or paint or make videos, whatever your artistic ability is, whatever you create, it is created to be shown. It is created to make an impact in other people's lives. That's what the church is. It's his artwork, his masterpiece, to show off to the authorities and the rulers in the spiritual realm. So you remember what his plan was back in chapter one that we just talked about? His plan was to bring everything together under the authority of Christ, everything in heaven and on earth. So God uses the church to show those who think they're in authority that even they must submit to the authority of Christ. I love David Guzik's commentary, and I study that often. And here he says this: in the big picture, God doesn't use angels to reveal his wisdom to the saints, but he does use the saints to reveal his wisdom to the angelic beings, both faithful and fallen angels. This reminds us that we are called for something far greater than our own individual salvation and sanctification. We are called to be the means by which God teaches us, teaches the universe a lesson, a beautiful, beautiful lesson. So God is looking for somebody who looks at the church the way he does, the way Christ does, the way the Spirit does, the way Paul does, the way the angels do, the way the those in the spiritual realms, in the heavenly places, look at the church as an artistic masterpiece of wisdom by which God's eternal plan comes together. Or, as it says in the Message version, through followers of Jesus like yourselves, gathered in churches, this extraordinary plan of God is becoming known and talked about even among the angels. Wow. That's as plain as it can get. Through followers of Jesus, just like me and you, gather together in churches. That's how God's plan is coming to life. That's amazing. Brothers and sisters, we are plan A. And there is no plan B. We are the A team. Now, the question for us is, do we act like it? Do we act like the A team? Are we on mission? Are we living out the plan that God has for us? Are we using our gifts, our talents, our passions to bring him glory? You know, this week in our small group, the Incredibles, we call it, we all talked about our passions, what we're passionate about. And it was so cool because, you know, some of us were like, I don't even know what I'm passionate about. And we were able to speak life into them and say, but you love this and you love that. And we were able to encourage one another. And as we talked about the things that were important to us and all of us, we just loved up on each other and built each other up. And we gave ideas and we brainstormed around how we can better live out our passion so that we can glorify God and make disciples. It was a beautiful, beautiful thing. That's what the church should be about. And that only happens in the church, right? My concern is that some of us have minimized this artistic masterpiece of God's wisdom to a place of worship or an event we go to on our day off, or for some, just another television show. That's not what even this virtual service you're watching is about. No, this is a very small part of what it means to be a disciple in God's church and to live out the biblical expectations that God has for everybody who calls themselves a disciple and the biblical benefits that we receive when we're part of the A team. You see, a virtual church service is not enough. There has to be more, because you can just say that could be the same thing for people that go to in-person church on Sunday mornings and don't do anything else during the week, right? That's not living out what it means to be under the authority of Christ and be doing it with a community of people. So in our Wake Up Wednesday this past week, I asked that. I said, could we as disciples live out the biblical expectations and experience the benefits of God's church virtually, only virtually? And it was good. We had a good discussion. It was a spirited debate. And people shared different things. You know, people shared, no, you need the in-person interaction. There's only so much camaraderie and connection you can feel virtually. Right. Other people said, yeah, you know, I was living out, you know, when the pandemic was at its height, I was living it out. So I kept my relationships growing. I was meeting with my brothers and sisters virtually. I was even helping people become disciples. And our sister Robin said, hey, the first time I met my friend in person was at her baptism day, because we had been helping her become a disciple virtually. So yes, can you live it out? Yes, through technology nowadays. Yes, but is it ideal? Is that, I do think there's still a limit to the camaraderie and closeness that you will feel with your brothers and sisters in Christ. And so, yes, do the best you can. For those of you who are not here in Atlanta and are watching virtually, hey, make sure you're doing more than watching a TV show on Sunday mornings, all right? This ain't that. This should be an inspiration for you, right? To be engaged, get part of the A-team, to build other relationships. You can build relationships virtually, being part of our small groups. You can connect with people. You can be about God's mission. You can partner with God in making disciples. Are you being devoted, right, as Acts 2 calls us to be, even though you're in another part of this country or this world? I want to encourage you, if you're able to attend some in-person services, go to church. There's something magical that happens. You can't substitute showing up. Just the energy that you feel from one another interaction, right? We do what we want to do, right? We risk for the things that are beneficial to us. I want to encourage you to make the effort, make the sacrifice to go in person and to build relationships in person. Figure that out. What is that going to look like for you and your family? Start praying about it. Start discussing that. Come down and visit us in Atlanta. Let us know you want to grow and be a part of the A-team. We will help you figure that out. We want to be there for you. And we want to be there for you so you can help other people be part of the A-team. All right. So I want to make sure that we made that clear for us. And as we continue to grow, that we understand the difference between a virtual church service and living out God's expectation for his church, for the A-team in a virtual manner. Those are two different things, right? We can't settle just for a service on whenever we watch it on our phones or on our TV. There's so many more benefits and perks that we get to experience by doing it God's way. All right. Just to close here. Of course, this past week, we all know about the slap, you know, heard around the world, right? That shocked the world. Will Smith going up and smacking Chris Rock for saying what he said, his joke about his wife. And I'm not going to get into all of that, right? But I do want to highlight one thing. And it's a comment that Will Smith made when he won the Oscar and he was given his acceptance speech. And this is what Will Smith said. He said this. He said, in this time in my life, in this moment, I am overwhelmed by what God is calling on me to do and be in this world. I said, wow. Put everything else to the side. If you take that phrase, that statement, God has been working on Brother Will. He's been working on him. He feels a direct calling, and I don't know what that calling is specifically. He talked about protecting, and that's fine. But the fact that he said he's overwhelmed by it, he's overwhelmed by what God is calling him to do and to be. I said, you know what? We should all be a little overwhelmed by what God is calling us to do and be in this world. the magnitude, right, of being the A-team should overwhelm us just a little bit. I mean, think about this. Our eternity and the eternity of everyone we love is determined by whether or not we align ourselves with God's plan for our lives. This world, our country, our state, our city, our neighborhood, all of it, everywhere, is affected by whether or not we align ourselves with God's plan. That should be a little overwhelming. Do we understand the magnitude? Now, I thank God that it's His plan and not ours. I thank God that He's working the plan. I thank God that He doesn't get overwhelmed or tired. I thank God that He doesn't get discouraged. I thank God that He promises He will carry out His plan to completion, and that's on Him. And we get to decide if we're going to partner with Him. And that's why I love scriptures like Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. And I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue His work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. Yes, He will carry it out to completion in every single one of our lives as we submit to the authority of Christ, and we invite Him to do that for us, right? And He will carry it out as a church. Also, Philippians chapter 2, verse 13, for God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases Him. So not only does He provide the plan, but He also gives us the desire and the power to please Him. So you know what? This week, let's ask God to give us a desire and the power to do what pleases Him, to help Him carry out His plan so He can say, I love it when a plan comes together. How will we do this practically? Well, here is an easy way. Easter is coming up, the time of the year when most people will attend a church service. And most people this year, I think, will even attend an in-person service, right? Whatever it may be, whether virtual or in-person, one, I want to encourage you, come, go to an in-person service if you haven't been, all right, and you're able to. Number two, invite somebody with you. Invite your friends. Invite your family. If you're part of the A-team, help other people to join the A-team. Be part of God's plan to bring everyone and everything under the authority of Christ. Partner with God in that way. We have a couple of weeks. We have our flyer on the website if you want to use that. There's a registration link on our website. You can use that as well to text your friends. Put it in your group chats. I know you got your family and friends group chat. I know you got your ratchet group chat. I know you got your frat or sorority group chat. Like, put it in the group chat. Let people know there's somebody out there who's been praying because they want to know God deeper, that's been going through things. And what we're doing is just meeting them where they are. So that's a very easy and practical way you can do in the next couple of weeks to be part of God's plan. And what we're going to be able to do together is celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. That's what it's all about. And really, we get to celebrate His death, burial, and resurrection every single week. Every single week, especially as we take communion, which we're about to do now. And during this time, what I want us to do is we take the cracker and we take the juice. I want us to remember and to know, if we don't know this already, that Jesus Himself, He chose to die on that cross because He knew that the church is plan A and there was no plan B. Therefore, we are the A team. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, we thank You so much for being the master planner, for having a plan, number one, that this isn't just happening by chance. There is a plan. You create the plan. You execute Your plan. You work Your plan. You work everything out according to Your plan. And that plan is for us to worship You and praise You. And that's when we're at our happiest, when we're celebrating with You in a intimate relationship with You, God. Thank You for Jesus. Thank You. That, as it says in Acts chapter 20, that He purchased the church with His blood. He literally bought us the church with his blood. He died on the cross so that we can have the church, that we don't have to do this by ourselves, and we can do it together, and we can partner with you, God. So I pray as we take communion, we can be grateful for that. We can be grateful for the church, that we can think about any ways that we need to repent or we need to get back in God's plan for our lives. God, please make that clear to us at this moment, Father. And we love you so much. And I pray that we can get a lot of people, as many people as possible, to be part of the team. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon. New sermons are uploaded each Monday morning. Simply search The Path Church Atlanta in iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcasting service. Additionally, we greatly appreciate your feedback on iTunes. If you would like to learn more about The Path, we encourage you to visit www.thepath.church. We hope to fellowship with you soon.